Hey guys, it's Tana. Thanks for joining me for another episode of Oddity Podity. I hope y'all made it out of the 4th of July holiday with all 10 fingers intact. And if you didn't, I hope you got a cool hook hand or some kind of robot fingers to replace them. Even though I love fireworks more than Joe Dirt, fireworks shows aren't the true meaning of the 4th of July. No, what we're really celebrating is America's freedom from the rule of England, which was formalized with the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Now, there's all kinds of lore behind the signing of this document, like that there's some sort of Freemason code on it, or that it's actually a map that marks the hiding places of priceless artifacts. These beliefs have been amplified by Hollywood in such movies like National Treasure and The Da Vinci Code. So, what's the truth and what's fiction? If you want to know, keep listening, because I'm about to lay down the law about the land of the free and the home of the brave. The Declaration of Independence is an historic document that gives us an excuse to shoot bottle rockets out of our backyards from around June 21st to about August 1st or so, depending on how long you can make your stash last. It was adopted by the Continental Congress on July 4th, 1776, and it proclaimed that the 13 American colonies were free and independent states from Great Britain. Basically, the good folks of Connecticut, Delaware, Georgia, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New York, New Jersey, Virginia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, and South Carolina decided that they were done being bossed around by the kings and queens of England and totally broke up with them. If Taylor Swift had been around back then, she would have written a song about it. But she wasn't, so the breakup letter was written by Thomas Jefferson with the help of John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, Roger Sherman, and Robert Livingston. The Declaration of Independence laid out all the reasons that the colonies were never, ever getting back together with Britain, and it was based on the principles of natural rights, consent of the governed, and social contract. It also listed all of the reasons why King George III and his government sucked, and declared that the colonies had not only the right, but the duty to end their relationship with him. Basically, the Declaration of Independence was the colonial version of how Stella got her groove back. And much like that book, it's been the source of inspiration and influence for many people, both in America and around the world. The document has been seen as a symbol of liberty, democracy, and human rights, and has been quoted and referenced by various leaders, movements, and documents. The United States Constitution, for example, was written in 1787, and the Bill of Rights, which was penned in 1791, were both partly based on the ideas and principles of the Declaration of Independence, and which established the federal system of government and the rights and freedoms of American citizens. It also inspired other countries to declare their own freedom. In 1804, the Haitian Declaration of Independence, which was the first document to declare an independent Black Republic in the Americas, and which denounced slavery, colonialism, and racial discrimination, was written and was based partly on the U.S. Declaration of Independence. Despite all of this, there is still a lot of myths about the Declaration of Independence and the men who authored and signed it. And although they were men of science and reason and probably would not have to come back to haunt anyone because they didn't believe in such things, there are plenty of people who claim to have seen the ghosts of our founding fathers. There are even others that claim that, because of their association with the Freemasons, some of these men were actually time travelers. Okay, I don't know about all of that, but let's get into what we do know is fact and what's fiction. First of all, I'm sure if you're on social media, you've seen memes going around which attempt to add certain numbers or certain dates together to come up with some sort of hidden meaning. For example, the month, day, and year that the Declaration of Independence was signed is 7/4/1776. Those numbers added together equals 1787, and those numbers added together and divided by the square root of 12 equals the amount that I owed on taxes last year, which clearly means that Ross Perot is alive on an island in Tahiti and will return to run for president again in 2024. You've all seen these silly posts, so you know what I'm talking about. But never fear, Even though our present day would be a lot different if Ross had won back in the 90s, you can't trust those memes because the Declaration wasn't even completely signed on July 4th. In fact, it started being tossed around on July 2nd, but it took the Continental Congress two more days to argue about it and agree on revisions. They approved the final draft on July 4th, but the actual signing took place on August 2nd, 1776, when 50 delegates affixed their signatures to an engrossed parchment copy. Still more delegates signed much later, and some never got around to signing it at all. The last person to sign it was Thomas McCain of Delaware, who dilly-dallied around for five whole months before finally signing on January of 1777. So don't you be scared of those math memes, because their mathin' ain't adding up. Speaking of such things, the Declaration of Independence is pretty straightforward in its meaning and intent. But there are some conspiracy theory types who will tell you that all is not what it seems on the surface, and that since some of the men who authored and signed it belong to the Secret Society of Freemasons, there's a coded hidden message in it. We've talked about the Freemasons before, and I've told y'all that my granddad was a member for a while, but when the chapter he belonged to started getting a little too freaky-deaky with their rituals, he bailed out real quick. For those of you who aren't familiar, the Freemasons are a fraternal organization that traces its origins back to the medieval guild of stonemasons. They're known for their rituals, symbols, and secrecy, and have been the subject of many conspiracy theories and controversies. Now, it's been claimed that the Freemasons originated with the Knights Templar, which was a unit of Christian warriors who carried out important military missions during the Crusades. The Knights Templar was founded in the year 1118 by a French knight named Hugues de Payns. Hugues and eight of his buddies decided to become literal Christian soldiers, physically fighting in holy wars. They called themselves the Poor Fellow Soldiers of Christ and the Temple of Solomon. They later shortened their name to the Knights Templar. The Knights did the Lord's work for nearly two centuries. And during the Holy Wars, a Crusader Mason met one of these knights and thus formed a sect of knights made up of Masons. With this, the Freemasons were born. Some of the signers of the Declaration of Independence were Freemasons. This is true. And some have claimed that because of this, the document was influenced by Masonic principles and ideals. But what does that even mean? Because it sounds like the Masons were just a bunch of Christian dudes, which seems fine and not at all shady. Of course, I would say that because I'm a descendant of a Freemason, right? So maybe you can't trust my word on the topic. Well, here are some facts and myths about the Freemasons and the signers of Declaration of Independence so you can decide for yourself. Fact: 9 of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence were Freemasons during their lifetime, though not all necessarily in 1776. They were William Ellery, Benjamin Franklin, John Hancock, Joseph Hughes, William Hooper, Robert Treat Paine, Richard Stockton, George Walton, and William Whipple. Myth: the Declaration of Independence was written in a Masonic temple or lodge. The truth is, there's no evidence to support this claim. The document was drafted by a committee of five men who were Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, Roger Sherman, and Robert Livingston. And they met at various locations in Philadelphia, including Jefferson's rented rooms and Franklin's house. However, out of the five men who created that original document, only one was a Freemason at the time, and that man was Benjamin Franklin. Fact: Benjamin Franklin was a prominent and influential Freemason. He joined the St. John's Lodge in Philadelphia in 1731 and later became the Grand Master of Pennsylvania. He also visited and corresponded with many Masonic lodges in America and Europe. He also published the first Masonic book in America, a reprint of James Anderson's Constitutions of the Freemasons. So Benjamin Franklin was really the OG Mason there. Myth: the Declaration of Independence contains hidden Masonic symbols or codes. Some have pointed to the use of the date of July 4th, which corresponds with the fourth day of the fourth month in the ancient Hebrew calendar, as a possible Masonic allusion. However, this is just a coincidence because the date was determined by the vote of independence on July 2nd, and the adoption of the document was on July 4th, and again, not completely even signed until August, not counting that guy who waited around to the following January to sign. So even if you use the date of January 4th, none of that adds up because the dates were kind of all over the place. There's no proof that the document has any intentional or even unintentional Masonic references. However, the fact is that the Freemasons have preserved and honored the memory of some of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. For example, in 1824, a group of Freemasons erected a monument at the grave of George Walton in Augusta, Georgia. And in 1834, another group of Freemasons laid the cornerstone for a monument at the grave of John Hancock in Boston. And in 1854, yet another group of Freemasons dedicated a statue of Benjamin Franklin in Philadelphia. They were significant members of the club, though, so it makes sense that they be recognized like this, and I don't think it's anything nefarious. The Freemasons and the signer of the Declaration of Independence have a complex and fascinating relationship that's inspired many stories and speculations. While some of the claims are exaggerated or unfounded, there's no doubt that both groups have played very important roles in American history and culture. There's also this myth that the Declaration of Independence was authored by Thomas Jefferson alone, and that's not true. He was the main author, but he was not the only one involved. Like I said, there are five other guys that helped, and then Congress revised it a whole bunch of times. But it is true that there are more than one copy of the Declaration of Independence floating around. And no, I'm not talking about one that's hidden somewhere in D.C. waiting for Nicolas Cage to find it. The original draft written by Jefferson is preserved in the Library of Congress. The copy that was signed by the delegates is displayed at the National Archives. There are also several printed copies that were made before and after the signing, such as the Dunlap Broadside, which was the first to be published on July 5, 1776. Only 26 copies of this version survive today. But I wouldn't be surprised if Nicolas Cage has one of them. While there's no factual evidence to back up the claim that the Declaration of Independence contains any Masonic codes or symbols, the Freemasons are a secretive group that a lot of people are interested in. And like I said, the fraternal organization traces its origins back to the medieval guilds of stonemasons and cathedral builders, which are known for their rituals, symbols, and secrecy, and have been the subject of all kinds of conspiracy theories. Just for funsies, here are some lore about the Freemasons. Now, I already told you that the Freemasons are supposedly descended from the Knights Templar, which were the powerful and secretive order of Christian warriors who fought in the Crusades and guarded the Holy Grail. You know, the Holy Grail that was featured in Indiana Jones and in that Monty Python movie? If you hadn't seen those movies, the Holy Grail is a magical cup. It was supposedly the cup that Christ drank from during the Last Supper, and also which his blood was caught in when he was crucified. It's said that if you drink from it, you will heal any disease or wounds, and it will also make you young and immortal. According to this legend, after the Templars were persecuted and disbanded by the Pope and the King of France in 1307, some of them escaped to Scotland and formed a new society called the Freemasons, who inherited their secrets and treasures. However, there is no historical evidence to support this claim, and most historians dismiss it as myth. But, I mean, it's supposed to be a magic cup that can make you immortal and heal all your wounds, so of course it's going to be secret. Of course there's going to be no facts to back it up, because everybody wants to keep the secret for themselves, right? Yeah. Another piece of prominent lore about the Freemasons is that they have a secret handshake that allows them to recognize each other and communicate their rank within the organization. According to this legend, the handshake is a way of transmitting coded messages or signals that only fellow Masons can understand. The handshake is also said to have symbolic meanings, such as loyalty, brotherhood, or mutual assistance. However, there is no official or universal handshake for all Freemasons, and different lodges may have different variations or customs. My granddad's lodge did have a secret handshake, but for that matter, so did my sorority. So I wouldn't put too much stock in a secret handshake, and besides, Freemasons have all sorts of stuff like rings and tie pins and cufflinks and probably even t-shirts that say, "I am a Freemason," and that signify that one belongs to the Brotherhood. Lore. The Freemasons have hidden symbols and codes in various monuments, buildings, artworks, and documents around the world. According to this legend, the Freemasons have left clues or messages that reveal their presence, influence, or agenda in history and culture. Some examples of alleged Masonic symbols or codes are the Eye of Providence on the U.S. dollar bill, the Washington Monument in Washington, D.C., and the Statue of Liberty in New York, or the Da Vinci Code by Dan Brown. However, there's no proof that these symbols or codes have any intentional or unintentional Masonic references, and most of them have other explanations or origins if you just look hard enough and research it. One final fact. 14 U.S. presidents were Freemasons, beginning with the first prez ever, George Washington. So even if there is no proof that the Declaration of Independence or the foundation of America itself was designed by the Freemasons, there's no doubt that both were influenced by at least some of it, whether directly, indirectly, or intentionally or not. It just stands to reason. Now that we're done with the history, let's get into the haunt. There are surprisingly few good ghost stories about our founding fathers. I guess they were too sensible and logical to return from the dead. There are some stories about hauntings of Thomas Jefferson, but they're not very well documented or verified. According to some sources, Jefferson's ghost has been seen and heard in various places, such as Monticello, his plantation home, where he spent most of his life and died in 1826. Some visitors have reported seeing him watching them from the shadows or hearing him whistling some of his old tunes that he was famous for liking. He's also been seen in the White House, where he served as the third president of the U.S. from 1801 to 1809. According to witnesses, he likes to hang out in the yellow oval room where he used to like to play his violin. Thomas Jefferson has also been seen at the Mitchie Tavern, which is a historic inn near Monticello. Jefferson would often stop at the tavern and have a drink on his way home from his travels, so it's possible that he still visits that tavern from time to time. Sightings of Jefferson are few and far between. He was a man of science and reason, and he probably didn't believe in ghosts himself. In fact, he once gave a lecture about a UFO sighting that he dismissed as baloney. Therefore, it's kind of unlikely that he would haunt anyone or anything after his death, but that's assuming that he had a choice in the matter, because maybe he didn't. There are also some stories about hauntings by Benjamin Franklin, but they're even less credible or consistent than those of Jefferson. According to some sources, Franklin's ghost has been seen and heard in various places. For example, the American Philosophical Society in Philadelphia, where he was a founder and president. Some reports claim that the statue of Franklin in front of the society comes to life and dances in the streets at nights. I'm going to go ahead and call BS on that one. But he's also been seen at the Pennsylvania Hospital in Philadelphia, which he also co-founded. Franklin's ghost has been reported to have thrown pennies at a nurse and pinched a woman's rear end in 1976. Okay, I can kind of see Ben being spicy like that. And finally, Franklin's ghost has been seen at Independence Hall in Philadelphia, where he signed the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. Here he was spotted walking around the halls or sitting in a chair. You know, Benjamin Franklin, he's hard to miss. He's a pretty distinctive looking guy, so if you saw his ghost, I would say that you would know who you're looking at. He was a man of many interests and talents, so he's probably too busy to linger around as a ghost after his death. And like Jefferson, he was also a skeptic, and he was a deist with spiritual views that may not have lent themselves to the belief in ghosts at all. In fact, he once wrote a satirical essay about being haunted by his own ghost after his death. Therefore, I think it's kind of unlikely that he would haunt anyone or anything else after his death either. But then again, who knows if we even have a choice in the matter? Maybe he's haunting people and he doesn't even know he's doing it. The signers of the Declaration of Independence went on to have very different fates after the American Revolution. Some became presidents, like John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, and James Monroe. Others became diplomats, like Benjamin Franklin, John Jay, and John Witherspoon. Some became judges, such as Samuel Chase, William Packer, and George Wythe. Some died during the war, such as Button Gwinnett, John Hart, and Richard Stockton. And some died of natural causes soon after the war, such as Joseph Hughes, Thomas Lynch Jr., and Thomas Stone. And some even lived long enough to see the adoption of the Constitution and the formation of the United States of America, such as Charles Carroll, John Hancock, and Benjamin Rush. The signers of the Declaration of Independence are remembered as patriots and heroes who helped shape the nation and its ideals. Their names are engraved on a bronze plaque in the National Archives building in Washington, D.C., where you can see the original Declaration displayed. Guys, on a final note, please don't confuse patriotism with hate and violence against those that you disagree with. Our founding fathers and those who have fought and died for this country ensured that we can speak our opinions without government persecution. And although some will say that we're not free enough and that we're losing freedoms, but I've been to multiple countries where the police carry machine guns and they're not afraid to use them in public places. In fact, I just returned from overseas just a few days ago, and I witnessed a guy being body slammed and nearly gunned down at the airport because he was singing very loudly. singing loudly, y'all. The same thing we do all over the place in America. I saw the same thing in a subway station in another country when a guy picked someone's pocket. The police dang near killed him right in front of me. Meanwhile, in the USA, you can be caught on camera filling a shopping cart with $500 worth of laundry detergent and casually walking out of the store with zero repercussions. In fact, the guy that's videoing you will get fired from his job. And if you don't believe me, Google it. It just happened a couple of days ago. Perhaps the guy was just celebrating his freedom. Freedom to steal and freedom from smelly clothes. My point is, as bad as things seem right now, we still have it a lot better than most. So let's be grateful to our founding fathers and treat each other well, just as our forefathers wanted us to. Guys, thank you so much for spending your time with me today. I really appreciate it. If you'd like to support the show a little bit more, please check out the support link in the show notes. I'm grateful for your love in any form that it comes in. And I hope that you'll come back and see me again next week, same time, same place, for a little more history and a little more haunt. We'll see y'all then.